means they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, in this 34th verse, two or three things that I want to call your attention to here this evening. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Most of the times, what's been true in my experience, I think most all believers will testify that it's true in their experience, that the believer is often shocked find that he did not know what conflict, hostility, and warfare was until he came to Christ. Don't have too many problems until a man comes to Christ. That's when he begins to have problems. Think you wouldn't have any problems. That seems to be the natural way of thinking. Kind of high in the sky, everything would appear to be rosy, all would be right with the world, right with God. Be no problem, but generally don't know what real conflict is. Generally don't know what hostility is or warfare until we come to Christ. First off, the man that comes to Christ finds he has conflict. Has soul conflict. Now, the old Adam, that's this old nature, seems to be, as I understand it, two natures. There's the old Adam and the new Adam. Or the old nature and the new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He has a new nature. The old nature is always there, though. I know that a lot of the sinless perfection people teach that the old nature is eradicated. It's just stamped out, burned out. It's done away with through mortification, through sanctification, through the purity of one's life, his determinations, his purposes, and all intentions. Finally, destroy the old Adam and then they have victory. They have victory, they say. We claim the victory. The old Adam has been eradicated. But that's not so. This old nature, old Adam, he doesn't die without a terrible struggle. And we're going to struggle with him. We're going to have conflict with him. And we're going to fight with him until the day we die. He's always there. Always. The apostle said, the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would do, I do. It seems to be a paradox, doesn't it? The things that I would do or would not do, those are the things that I do. Then a man has, in this conflict with his soul, he has a conflict with sin. Never had any problem with sin until he came to Christ. Everything was all right. He could determine for himself these outward acts that were bad, and he determined certain acts to be sinful and certain acts to be good. So therefore, he controlled his sin. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. Refrained from this. Consented to that. He controlled things. He was on top of the situation. He had no conflict with sin until he came to Christ. Until he found out that sin is an inward thing. Sin is the center of his being. His heart is corrupt and his heart is depraved. And it was not what goes in a man that defiles him, but it's what goes out of a man. What proceeds out of a man. The origin of that which proceeds out of a man finds its logic place in a man's heart. Adultery, thefts, all types. So he has conflict with sin. He has conflict. Never bothered him before. Go through the day without praying. Never bothered him before to miss church. Never bothered him. He seemed to be content. He could go to church on Easter. He could go to church on Christmas Day. And that was about the sum and substance of his religious performances and duties. Now that he's come to Christ, these things become a conflict to his soul. Well, I know that they are conflict. Sin is a conflict, fight. It's a weight. Scriptures say, lay aside this weight, every weight that so easily beset, so easy hinders us in this race. Let us lay aside every weight. One way to lay it aside, one way that we can gain the victory over this conflict and the struggle that we have with our soul in the matter of sin is to confess our sin. That's one way to gain the victory, to confess our sin. I want to read something to you here in the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 2. Verse number 1. Here's a way to gain the victory. We can gain this victory now. We can have some peace. Jesus said, "Thank that I come to bring peace." Oh, he said, sword, conflict. We have conflict when we come to Christ. Now listen, here's one way that we can have a little peace. It says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. That's the first chapter. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Now, second chapter, verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen to what I'm saying. It says, if we confess our sins, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice that it says, if we sin, we have him still. It does not say, if we sin, we have forfeited our advocate. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, if we sin, we have forfeited our advocate, Jesus Christ. He no longer is there to intercede in our behalf. It doesn't say that. It says, we have an advocate, sinners though we be, we have an advocate. So the victory comes when we recognize this conflict with our soul in regard to the matter of sin and confess it unto him. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, He said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus. That's our advocate. The Scriptures say this about that sweet name, the sweet name of Jesus. The Scriptures say that His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's the sweet name of Jesus. And then it says here that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, this here not only has to do with His character. His character. Certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. He's the basis of our acceptance with God. We're accepted by God through the righteousness of another. Even the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect conformity to God's law for us. We're accepted on that basis. But it's not only His character, but here in this respect, it's His plea. It's His plea. He meets the charge of our unrighteousness, or He meets the charge of our unrighteousness that's against us by His plea that I'm righteous. The charge is made against us that we are unrighteous. If we confess our sins, it says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He meets the accusations against our unrighteousness with His righteousness. Therein, brethren and sisters, this evening, we have some soul peace. Though, when it's all said and done, we still have conflict with our soul, conflict with our sin. But yet there is a happy place where we can go and lay our sins to rest. And that's on the Savior's grace. That's our sin. Well, secondly, when the Lord Jesus said that I come not to send peace on earth but a sword, we have conflict with our soul, and secondly, we find that a man has conflict in his own household. I read to you here in this 36th verse that it says, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's a strange thing, isn't it? That's strange that a man's enemies, when he comes to Christ, the man's enemies are those of his own family, his own household. He never had any problems with them before. Everything seems to be going along good. No difficulties, pleasure, and agreement, a so-called a unity prevails. But now that he's come to Christ, man's foes, man's enemies shall be those of his own household. A once friendly family circle becomes a divided armed camp arrayed against an unwanted intruder. The unwanted intruder is none other than the Lord of Glory. He's an unwanted intruder that has divided the loyalties of the family. He's come in and trodden upon the sacred ground of the family circle. He's divided. He's unwanted. Therefore, because of his interest, because of the loyalty of the believer to him, the family circle is broken. There's division, and there's no longer the peace and unity that they once had. That's what the Scriptures say. When a man comes to Christ, he never knew what conflict was, hostility and warfare and so forth, until he comes to Christ. Finds out that the greatest enemies that he has are those of his own family. In most cases, his own flesh. sufficient blood. Isn't that something? But that's a fact, nevertheless. There is great tempting. My soul, you think it's the devil is great tempting. You think it's ungodly neighbor. You think it's devious, devilish men. Set in high places would be a man's foes, enemies, greatest enemies, but not so. Man's foes shall be those of his own household. Well, when a man comes to Christ, not only is this family circle broken because of the intruder, of the invader, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, but he has conflict with the religious world if he's true to Christ. You know that the greatest enemies of Christ have always been those that have boasted of their knowledge of God. Did you know that? The greatest enemies of Christ have always been those that have boasted of their superior knowledge of God Almighty. Did you know that it was in the synagogue that the death of Christ was plotted and conceived? It was in the synagogue. They plotted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that it was in the cathedrals in Europe where the reformers were tried and persecuted? In the cathedrals. You know that today it's in the churches and the seminaries that the gospel of grace is denied. You see, when a man comes to Christ, he has conflict with this religious world. When you stand, as the fundamentalist expression is, four square upon the Word of God, upon the authority of the Scripture, sacred. The Lordship of Christ, sovereignty of Christ, sovereignty of God, doctrine in the Bible. Stand upon these, it's going to conflict with the religious interpretation of the denominations of this world and the religions of this world. It's going to be conflict. And it's going to give you a hard time. It's going to give you trouble. Then, man comes to Christ, he has conflict with the devil. Never had it before. Never had no trouble with the devil before until he comes to Christ. That's right. Never had no trouble before. Everybody liked him. I never had any trouble. Everybody liked him. And that's about the testimony of everybody. I know in my own case, and I'm not saying this way, for any other reason than to set forth the truth of this. Before I was a Christian, I had all kinds of friends. Everybody. It seemed like I got along with everybody. Where I worked or where I played or where was I? Never had any problems with anybody. I just, kind of sought your friendship. Never had no conflict with the devil. The man comes to Christ. He has conflict with the devil. You know, it's said in the Scriptures. It says, the Lord said this. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat. Satan hath desired thee, Peter. Peter had no conflict with Satan until he met Christ. And he had a conflict with Satan. The Apostle Paul said, Satan hath hindered me. He hindered me. Now listen. Satan did not hinder Paul when he persecuted the church. Did he? He didn't hinder Paul. Remember, Paul had the names of the members of this hated sect that was described as the members of the way. Paul had the authority from high high priest to go down into Damascus and to get those people down there, the members of this sect, followers of this way, and put them in jail. And Paul even had the people killed. In fact, Paul was there on the scene when they stoned Stephen to death. Stephen's testimony concerning the Lord Jesus. Think of that now. Paul had no conflict with Satan until he came to Christ. That's what I'm trying to tell us here this evening, that when we come to Christ, expect some struggle. This old Adam does not die easily. Expect some conflict. You'll have conflict. Expect conflict in your own family. You'll have conflict there. Expect conflict with this religious circle and this religious system which we live under. You'll have difficulties there, and you'll have difficulties with the devil. If Peter had difficulties with the devil, conflict with the devil, and Paul had conflicts with the devil, rest assured you and I are going to have some conflict. Man comes to Christ, he has conflict with the flesh. The scriptures say in the world, ye shall have tribulation. You have trouble in the world. In the world, you're going to have trouble. Now, you can't get out of the world until God calls you out. Now, I know that a man can buy him an island if he's got enough money and get over on that island and stay by himself. Isolate himself from the balance of his life, not have anything to do with anybody. Or he can become a monk and go in one of these monkeries. There's some monkeries. Is there a monkery down there around Morgantown, Pat McGinn? I think there is. There's a monkery down there. Priests go down there and go back in there in them caves and them old stone buildings and wander around and hide and beat themselves, wear hair shirts and all of that, do penance and say they're separated from this world. But that's not what the scriptures don't. The scriptures doesn't mean for us to get out of this world. He means to come out from it, not belong to our system by way of identification. But we're here in this world, and we've got to live in this world and work with the enemies of Christ. On the job, they're enemies of God, haters of Christ. And we'll have conflict in the flesh, difficulty, misunderstanding. We'll be misrepresented, and we'll be slandered, we'll be lied upon. And the man will take the least little picky thing that he can find and try to make something out of it in order to destroy your testimony, credibility in the Christian world. He'll do it. You've got to. That's the reason the Lord said, watch. Watch. Be careful. Redeem the time. Tread softly. You have conflict in the flesh. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Fear, fiery trials. The Apostle Peter called fiery trials. It's not just ordinary trials, but fiery trials, difficult trials in this world. People that are professed Christians, and most of them are only professed Christians. They're not Christians. They have no difficulties or no conflicts, and they're going around with a wide smile on their face, and they're happy with everybody, and everything that they do is agreeable with everything else, and they seem to be very popular and the talk of the town. Those people doesn't seem to have any conflict. It's because they've never come to Christ. Man comes to Christ, he's going to have conflict. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have fiery trials. But thanks be unto God. His grace is always sufficient. Always. May the Lord bless you to our understanding. encouraged. Encouraged. This time of need. We need encouragement. We need someone to come along and tell us that there's hope. We need someone to tell us there's light at the end of the tunnel. We need someone to tell us that from time to time. We need to say that if God be for us, who can be against us? Be terrible if we could say God's against us, so who's going to be for us? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That's all I had to say this evening, and based upon the scriptures, to say if God, say God's against us. God's against us. Who can be for me if God's against me? No need to have anybody else for me if God's against me. But I can say with all assurance, authority, that God be for us. God be for us. Who can be against us? We're on His side. If we have come to Christ, you see, then the trials of this world, trials of this flesh, conflict.